Orange County Workforce Development Director. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for your service and your time this year and years past as well. Thank you so much, Lee. My name is Annalisa Lutz. I'm your chair for the board, and everybody should have a copy of the agenda. Thank you too for getting us all ready. So let's go ahead and get started with the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm going to ask our vice chair to lead us.
Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Rob? All right. Let's go ahead and do board member roll call with our staff. Gloria Alvarado?
Yeah.
George Boutros?
Here.
Kathy Boyd? Here. Karen Kasselich?
Here.
Claudio?
Here.
Steve Briel?
Here.
Mike Daniel? Andrew Fermi?
Here.
Terry San Lam? Bill Hewitt? Rajesh Jha? Robert Knowles?
Here.
Annalisa Liu?
Present.
Doug Mangione?
Here.
We have Felix Aliso?
Here.
Carlos Oregon?
Here.
Todd Swartz?
Here.
Randy Whitmore?
Here.
We have four. Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. We're at item four on the agenda. Are there any public comments at this time?
There are no public
comments. All right. We have a couple of presentations and some action items and then certainly a photo shoot afterwards. So let's go ahead and get started. First presentation is about 10 minutes from the North County, North Orange County Continuing Education, Valentina Patel, President of North Orange County Continuing Education. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, we did 7 minutes of presentation for 3 minutes.
Perfect.
Perfect. So we're going to be brief and we'll hit the ground running. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Valentina Patel, and I am happy to represent North Orange Continuing Education, one of the largest adult education or non-credit providers, certainly in our county and in the state. We are part of North Orange County Community College District. Our sister colleges are Cypress College and Fullerton College, and NOC has been in existence for 50 years. And we're really happy to be here today. I think it's long overdue. We have been your partner, your Title II partner for many years. And I have the pleasure of serving on the Anaheim Workforce Development Board. So without further ado, I want to introduce my esteemed colleagues, Jennifer Perez and Nisha Jenkins, who will tell you about NOC. Thank you.
Valentina, good morning, everyone. My name is Jennifer Perez. I'm the Director of Campus Communications for North Orange Community Education, or NOCE, as we are lovingly known as. We wanted to just share with you about our school and a lot of the benefits that we have as a non-credit institution. We are a standalone adult education provider, and for that reason, that means that we can provide classes that are tuition free to our communities. And that is because we are state supported. We also gather a lot of grants, regional, state, and federal grants to serve our community. We are very accessible. We have three separate campuses in North Orange County. So we are in Anaheim, Cypress, and Fullerton, which is our Wilshire Center. Across the street from Fullerton College, and our Cypress Center is actually on the Cypress College campus. So we, although we're separate from our sister colleges, we work in tandem with them a lot to help transition students over to the credit colleges as well. We're very, in our Ford campus, like that we like to say, is our community-based centers. We actually offer classes in over 75 community-based locations. So we partner with K-12 schools, with churches, community centers, senior centers, rehabilitation centers, where we can come in and offer the classes to our community. We're very flexible. We have actually 700 classes online. So students, family members who are working, they can take classes either in the morning or in the evening, whatever is convenient for them. And then we like we serve the whole family. So we offer classes for students that are 1 to 101. And we are fully, we're proud to be fully accredited by WASC, Western Association of Schools and Colleges. So we don't provide college credit. So why would someone want to take classes with us? There are a variety of reasons. We like to say that we offer pathways to opportunities. We help students set goals and achieve them. A lot of times we are second chance for them. Many get scared from their previous experiences with school. And so we like to welcome them with open arms and have them come to us and get started to upskill. And we welcome students wherever they are. We help them on their path to completion for career goals, independent goals, or academic goals. We offer English and U.S. citizenship preparation, high school diploma, GED preparation. A big part of our school is our career technical education program, where we offer over a dozen certificates for career short-term career training. We enhance skills for students to prepare for college and help them build self-sufficiency, independence. We have a huge program for adults with disability where we train them job training and independent living skills. And then we love to improve the health and wellness of our seniors through our emeritus program. So some of our student services that we offer is we like to provide these classes, but then also wrap around our services to help support them while they're attending classes. So we have a free food pantry. We provide laptop loans and Wi-Fi loans, textbook loans and scholarships. We have academic counseling, tutoring, again, disability support services, and lots of wellness workshops and resources, and safe spaces for students that identify as LGBTQ or formerly incarcerated or even undocumented students. And then we have a huge career services program, which Nish is gonna talk about. At NSCE, we like to say students transform themselves, their families, and their communities every day. And I'll pass it over to Nisha.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair, and board members for allowing us to be here today. So as Jennifer articulated already, we've been here for 50 years. We'll be here for 50 more. I see some familiar faces here in the room. And so we always work in spirit of collaboration. But one of the things I wanted to highlight as we talk about our collaboration and our partnership is, if I can have you turn to the packets, it's about our strong workforce program. And we have been very intentional with that, not only to meet the needs of the economy and our local economy, but also for our students who are coming to us to upskill, to also to maybe have something new. After the pandemic, we learned a lot of things about our student and about our community member. And so we try to adapt to that. So as you'll find in your packet, our course catalog also talks about job readiness and how we have students actually look at that and as a quick glance at, okay, what can I do now? What can I do to support my family? How can I upskill quickly? And that is really the goal of our institution. But what we also know with this board, I'm sure we talk about all the time, is how we retain students. How we retain students, how we retain community members here in Orange County, and that's more about, we want to make sure they're about getting the best education possible, so that way they can go back into local businesses and to local corporations, so that way they stay here. We do not want them leaving Orange County, we'd like to keep them here. But that's the purpose of having this here, making sure that we've done a deep dive with the data. But with our CTE, which is our career technical pathways, which are things in allied health, pharmacy tech, personal care, business administrations worker. We partnered with the OC1 centers in the past. We'll continue to do that at various job fairs to provide that NOC's resources to ensure that our community members know that we are here and that we are available. And like with everything that we do with NOC, it's always within a spirit of collaboration. We know that there are other colleges within the district. And so it's a shared opportunity.
It's not a divisive one. It's a shared opportunity to where that student is our student, because at the end of the day, they're all community members. So we welcome you to partner with us. We're, you know, welcome to explore further collaboration if we already have something already. And we are here for you and the community. Thank you for having us today.
Thank you.
Any questions, comments, thoughts, feedback?
How does the workforce board partner with these folks? Training, or is there kind of a collaboration or symbiotic relationship with them?
We love to strengthen the collaboration. We do have assigned MOU as one of your partners as part of MIOVA grant recipient network. And typically, workforce development boards or one-stop centers, as they were used to be called, refer students or their clients to programs such as ours. Especially if you have clients or any community members interested in North Orange County opportunities, because that's our service area. What gaps do you see, what you offer, and what? Well, what we had noticed, especially in post-pandemic, is a huge need for wraparound services. As Jennifer mentioned, we already provide academic counseling. We provide workforce development assistance, job placement, career search assistance. But what our students and really our communities need is assistance with basic needs. We have been running, for example, a food pantry once a week at our campuses. That has been helpful, but the specific funding sources that helped sustain such an important service going away post-pandemic, but the need continues to be there. We had established a laptop loan program, and we certainly see the need to bridge digital divide for our community members with such programs and classes as well.
And I just have a comment. Rob Claudio, with the Employment Development Department. As a reminder, I think a lot of our unemployed job seekers already are, you know, we share the common customer, because people, when they become unemployed, although they come, you know, they may come to EDD to file for unemployment insurance benefits, they are still looking to see how can they get a leg up in looking for work. And so some of them do pursue training and non-credentials, something that gets them quickly back into the workforce. And so they just don't tell us, you know, that they're already, you know, navigating through this system of getting as much as they can to help them prepare to re-enter the workforce. So, you know, we have a lot of referrals from our, you know, America's Job Center in California. That's the new name. from the old one-stop days, and vice versa. You know, we get a lot of them from that already are students, but they're looking for specific training or additional help. And so, you know, we get them all. So, we look forward to continuing a stronger partnership. But, you know, we're already, we've done a lot of ground.
Thank you.
Question. What's the usual pathway after they get services and get training from you? Where do they go thereafter? And then I'm curious to know about the demographics.
Sure. We always tell students we are a launch board. We provide competency-based upskilling services to them. But their next steps, either pursuit of the career or their path of their interest, or moving up the academic ladder, hopefully with our sister institutions, Cypress College and Fullerton College. And we actually have developed structured ways. And like Jennifer mentioned, counseling services that help students make that critical step and see themselves as college students and even beyond community college. And the demographics, yes. Let's see, we serve 16,000 students. Most of our students are of Hispanic background as far as race and ethnicity. I want to say about 55%, about the same percentage of female students. Interestingly, our average age is between I want to say 45 and 55. So we are certainly serving recurring adults, immigrants, refugees.
Yeah, quick question. Programs that you have for manufacturing, and I'm curious, what are you doing to support the evolving industry and electric vehicles? All different types of aspects and growth.
Let's see, the only program that NOCE offers is electrical trainee certificate.
Okay.
And it's a very short-term training that almost guarantees a job placement at the end. But what we do is, like I said, we connect our students with our sister colleges. Fullerton College specifically specializes in manufacturing training. So that's the best pathway for them.
And Cypress has the automotive, a huge automotive program.
Yes, they're doing the T10 as an award-winning program.
And then just for awareness, Edison has a laptop donation program, and we've done that to 90 groups.
Okay.
They're always cycling out stuff every couple of years.
That's what.
Thank you so much for being here. I'll just give it a vote. Welcome to stay here. All right. We have our second presentation, and this is on behalf of Rosalia. I'm saying that properly. Training manager at California Manufacturing Technology Consulting. Oh, that's great words. Welcome.
Morning. I'm really happy to be here with you today and share with you a little bit about my organization. UTC and OC Wood have been working together for all of our existence. CMTC has been in existence since 1983. Our partnership has been everywhere from the informal, we know about each other, we partner together, we partner with all kinds of different organizations. We've been participating, for example, on red teams when a company is struggling, but also partnering when a company is growing and when a company needs assistance in figuring out how they're going to expand, how are they going to take advantage of their opportunities. The slides that you see up on the screen is a summary of the impact reported by the students that we served in 2023. And the handout that you got is the further breakdown of the information of those survey results. Our parent organization is NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, which is under Department of Commerce. NIST hires a independent third-party organization to survey all of our clients anywhere from 6 to 12 months after a project is over to measure the result and the impact of the work that we've done for them. And they're coming in with two questions. Did CMTC help you? And if so, how? And this is the summary of the impact that where it was it a cost savings? Was it an opportunity for growth? Was it stabilizing the business? Had an impact from all of a number of different metrics. And you can see there the breakdown for Orange County. In the last 3 years, CMC has been serving about 1,500 to 1,600 companies a year, and Orange County has represented about 10% of that. So 400, I actually did take a look at our statistics last night, 455 companies in the last 3 years. So about 150 companies, individual separate companies within the last 3 years. With a variety of different services. And that's anything from the very small 2-3 person company all the way on up to an organization with hundreds of employees. A little bit to know about manufacturing. California is the nation's powerhouse for manufacturing. There are more manufacturers in California than in the next two states combined. This is the place where it happens. But another important statistic to know about manufacturers is although the federal government defines a small manufacturer as an entity with 500 or fewer employees, the fact of the matter is that's 99% of manufacturing. 90% employ 100 people or less full-time, and 70% employ 20 or less. It's those small companies that are the drivers that are making the difference. That's where the jobs are happening. That's where the innovation is happening. But that's also where the help is needed. So everybody's trying to get in the door with Boeing and Northrop and all kinds of different, these large organizations. They're not so anxious to try to beat down the door of that third, fourth tier supplier with only 35, 40 people. But they probably need the help of more than those large organizations. And that's where we come in. So we provide a wide range of services. We're meeting with manufacturers every day, and we are listening to them. That's the first thing we're doing. We're asking questions and we're listening. What's happening with your business? Are you growing? Are you struggling? Do you want to grow? What are the things that keep you up at night? Where are your pain points? And then we bring together a team that can address those issues. Sometimes that's a training solution. Sometimes that's a consulting solution. Sometimes that is starting out with an in-depth evaluation and assessment of what's happening with the organization. And the other thing that's important to know about CMTC is we absolutely believe in partnership. Partnership is the name of the game. We cannot do everything ourselves. We partner with the community colleges. We partner with other private training agencies, subject matter experts, workforce development board, all kinds of different entities so that we can bring all those resources to bear to help those organizations. Partnership is everything to us. So as we listen to a company and they tell us what's going on with them, that's where we put together the team that can help them prioritize and start to address and tick down those needs. In addition to those kinds of partnerships, we're also bringing together all of the resources that we can to support the business in terms of on the financial side. They also don't have a whole lot of money. So we do have some funding from our federal funding partner. We do have some money from from the governor's office to provide technical assistance. The reason I joined CMTC 28 years ago is because I knew about this thing called ETP. And in my time with CMTC, we've been able to leverage about $45 million of the state's money, providing training to thousands of companies. And at the last count, I believe we were able to say we've trained over 45,000 people at those thousands of companies. So, and that's in a wide range of areas. Again, it's everything from the soft skills, the leadership, the team building, the problem solving, the technical skills, soldering, welding, machine operation, and also on the continuous improvement side. Again, how do you look at your organization and figure out how to gain efficiencies, be the most profitable, make the most of the resources that you have at hand? So we are really excited about the work that we've done with Orange County in the past. The last formal contract we had with your team on layoff aversion, we were able to provide services, in-depth consulting services to 7 different organizations. The goal was to save 70 jobs. The companies reported that we saved 78, and they actually were now in a position, they were on such more strong, that they were in a position to create an additional 25 jobs as a result of that intervention that they received. They reported cost savings, they reported gains in efficiencies, they were able to do some great work. Right now, we're doing some work together on incumbent worker training, and that's proving very beneficial to the companies that are able to take advantage of that. And again, we're just really delighted to have this partnership and look for new ways to continue to do that. Any questions?
So you're a nonprofit, and
we are a 501c3
nonprofit, but this is very good.
There is an MEP in every state, and we are California.
Remind me again, Lucia, does the federal government provide, what kind of support do they provide to your operations in California?
So they are, they're our parent organization. Right. So they're the reason that we have a headquarters office and computers and are able to take care of our infrastructure. But then we're able to expand the services that we provide from folks by all of these other grants. Some of the funding that we get is also then for those technical assistance projects.
And then you said GoBiz was supporting you, and then you have an ETP, multiplier contract.
Right. Wow. We also had, and actually I think I might need to say past tense had, some funding from Department of Defense to specifically help aerospace companies make sure they have all of the resources in place to make sure that they are not as vulnerable to a cyber attack.
Yes, I understand.
How does an employer or business find you? How do they know about you?
All kinds of ways. Coming to things like this, going to networking events. We do have a team of outreach specialists who call on companies and let them know. So we go to trade shows. We get referrals from our existing customers. So we're leveraging every opportunity we can to make sure folks know about us.
Just to follow on if somebody else. How big is your team down here, and what are some of the industries that you supported recently?
Oh, that's a great question. So our team right now that's specifically serving Orange County is we've got two full-time folks that are full-time field staff, again, doing those assessments, meeting with the companies, and establishing the plan to execute with the company. But then, again, once you start counting the delivery resources and the partners and all of that, gets to be a very, very large list. In terms of projects that we've done lately, my biggest connection is to the projects that we've done with workforce funding. So in terms of like cyber projects and those kinds of things, I don't have as much visibility to those. But as an example, we just helped Reborn Cabinets, a larger organization, secure a $500,000 contract with the Employment Training Panel because they're growing. They're at 750 people right now. They want to get to 900. And so they're going to use that money to hire and train, in addition to upskill people that they have now. We're doing a large project with another company. His name is going to escape me at the moment, where we've done now about a 200-hour continuous improvement project with them. And that's helped them gain, six figures in cost savings that they've been able to implement and help them with their profitability.
Thank you.
Okay.
One more question.
Yes. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, when you talk about labor and mentioned the company, it sounds like they're doing their own training, hiring just an unskilled and then training them. Is that typical, or do you see a shortage of, as far as the worker pool, kids coming out of high school or college and not having enough of them either interested, skilled? And if there is a shortage, is it harder for the smaller? Am I going to know the answer? But do the smaller companies struggle versus like the Boeing's, the big ones that everyone wants to go work for?
It is a bigger struggle for the smaller companies because they don't, again, if you're a 20-person company, that means you have one machinist, maybe two. And you don't need a new machinist until that person decides to retire or move on to another organization. But when you need that person now.
Right.
A larger organization can work, and even this company we helped, they can afford to bring people on and cycle them through and do that development. Those small companies, they're running fast with scissors.
Do you have a question?
It's just real quick. The group has this California Economic Resiliency Fund. Have you heard of this, or are you working with them?
I am not. That doesn't mean that CMTC, somebody at CMTC isn't, but I am not. So maybe I can talk to you afterwards, find out a little more about it.
Well, I'd rather see you get the money.
Thank you so much for being here. And action items. Before we do that, I know there's photos later. I know I like to take photos of the group, not the team. So if you want to do that later on after the meeting, please stick over. All right, I'll turn it over to our director, Nancy Cuthbert. Several policy updates, six of them.
Before your attention we have six policies to bring to you for consideration. The first one is allowable cost policy. Subrecipients of the WIO funds are required to ensure funding is recorded according to federal and state guidance. This policy revision includes guidelines on how the local workforce development area determines if credits such as purchase discounts, refunds, or rebates apply to the WIO grants, and the types of costs with limitations on allowability and classification of costs, indirect or direct. The red line begins on page 7 of your packet, and the clean version is on page 22. And Francis can walk us through the major provisions.
Yeah, so this was provisions really to address three items, which are the three C above listed right there. The first one being 200406, is how we determine if credit is applicable to WIO funds. And then CFR 200.8 is to identify allowable costs. And then CFR 200.12 is to make sure we identify the difference between direct and indirect costs. The rest of the changes were like non-substantial, basically updating contact information, logos, that kind of information, and putting up the definition for most of the pre-mission.
It's CFR's code of federal regulations.
Yes. Yeah.
Questions
on that
motion? Are there any comments or questions And just want to note too that you've seen recommendations throughout the year. The intention behind that overall is to make it easier for us to serve our constituents. It's really loosening up a little bit of the tight grip, but still remaining in compliance with the balance. Are there any questions or comments regarding this particular proposed policy? Okay. Hearing none, do you want us to vote on this or collectively?
Collectively.
Yeah, excellent. Let's go on to item B. It's up here.
This one is for the CalJobs document imaging and scanning policy. You'll find the red line starting on page 35 and the clean version on page 40. So the CalJobs imaging and scanning policy allows for electronic file and document storage in CalJobs as a secure and central database. The policy revisions align with WIOA guidance by storing participant information in CalJobs, using electronic files for audits, accepting electronic signatures, and requiring password protection for any medical for disability-related private information. We'll walk us through the major revisions.
So there's two major revisions. We added a couple reference documents, which were missing from the former policy. And then the other one is we kind of include language to aid us in that transition towards paperless. Currently, we're pretty paper-heavy and it's a little archaic. We might move more towards a paperless transition. That's also going to be reflecting more about other policies. CalJobs is our basically the workforce database for California. It is secure. It'll be one of the documents going in there. So it's basically what's policy addresses.
Are there any comments or questions? All right. Hearing seeing none, let's go ahead and move on to item 7C.
Chair. This policy is for incident reporting of waste, fraud, and abuse policy. The grantees and service providers receiving federal funds through the Employment Development Department are required to report allegations of criminal fraud, program abuse, and criminal conduct. This policy revision aligns with updates to the EDD's Incident Reporting Directive, which now requires subrecipients to file reports directly with the Office of Inspector General and the Employment Training Administration by passing the compliance reviewing office and transitioning office meeting.
So yeah,
sorry, red line page 44, clean version page 49.
So that's as Nancy said, there's been a change to the EDD directive here as far as compliance reporting. And basically the process has been simplified now. Now the information goes to the Office of the Inspector General. That's where we report. If they determine that the allegation is substantial, requires either an investigation or an audit, they then pass the information along to the ETA and then to the the ETA is the Employment Training Administration. And then also we'll get forwarded onto EDD's compliant review office if necessary. So it's basically simplified the process a little bit for reporting. So they can kind of go to that single point and it gets forwarded if it hasn't.
Other questions?
Always good when you eliminate steps.
Okay.
Get right to the
first. Right.
Sorry. Well, more, I guess, background on this. Is this the idea that if there's belief and fraud in the grantee or the service provider, like by staff, this is kind of like a whistleblower type policy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the policy, I mean, we kind of briefed on it, but the policy does list the entire review process. You can call, who you can call, who you can email. So this all kind of happened. But the major change from the previous policy is that reporting process has been simplified to something like that.
Can I follow up? Just curious. So let's say, like, we write grants, and it's typically a handful of people that write for grants, and then let's say the funding comes through. We have a whole bunch of people working in it. Is there a requirement that those other folks that are working with it in it be aware that they have this, that this policy in place, or it's just for those that sign the grant to read the fine print?
Oh, like as far as like,
yeah, like if people don't know that there's these protections in place and they wouldn't know if they see something wrong, but they don't know about the process, let's say a lower level clerk, they wouldn't know there's a place to go and file a report if they have a concern.
So anytime for all our service providers, all our contracting providers, sub-recipients of our funding, anytime there is a policy change, like we have six today, right, which we're hopefully going to get passed, we send a notification all out to their senior leadership. We let them know. And it's for their responsibility then to pass it down to this.
They are responsible.
Yeah. So now the onus is really on that organization to take the people who they put leadership of.
Yeah.
So there's an expectation to socialize it throughout the organization.
Yeah, exactly. Anytime we have a new policy or policy update, it covers all of our sub-recipients, and then we should communicate that with them. Obviously, we can't communicate to every single staff member of every sub-recipient, but we do notify the appropriate persons, and then they pass the information.
We also post it on our website, so any member of the public can grab it. So.
Any other comments, questions regarding this item? Okay, hearing and seeing none, let's go and move on to 70.
Chair. This is a new policy, so there's no red line. It starts on page 54. Priority of service for veterans and eligible spouses policy. There was already a clause in kind of our service and our one stop, but we just really wanted to call it out so that it was a specific policy for priority of service. So we all requires that veterans and eligible spouses receive priority in the provision of individualized career and training services in the adult program. This policy establishes procedures regarding the priority of service. So we've established this new policy to expand upon, which we already had in the adult and dislocated worker program policy, to ensure the priority for service for veterans and eligible spouses in compliance with WIOA and the Jobs Veterans Act guidelines. So this policy aims to enhance access to employment and training services for these priority groups. So new policy for the board to consider.
Comments, questions?
Nancy, in practice, what does this look like? Like, is it allocating a certain amount of funding or?
So it's not necessarily allocated funding, but they get priority of service, right? So if a veteran and their eligible spouse came into one of our service centers and was needing the same services as another individual, there's basically five different group levels, veteran being the priority group one. So they would be first. So we don't really allocate necessarily funding towards veteran program, although we do have a veteran employment program, which is dedicated to serving that population. So no, it's not necessarily dollars tied, but as far as services, they're prioritized. They receive first service.
Kind of like boarding the plane.
Yeah. Very much like, boarding the plane, yeah. So
and get on, but
they actually get on though before group A, you know.
And my comment on this is just it's great that you actually put the policy in place, because we get several reviews and audits from United States or the US DOL, you know, Employment Training Administration. We have the DOL vets that come out, you know, quite often, and that's the first thing they look for is how are you addressing the priority of service for veterans at your locations. In addition to that, now you have, you know, policy to back it up.
Any other comments or questions regarding this item? Now let's go ahead and move on to item 7.
Here, so the red line begins on page 62 with the clean version on 74 for the WIOA documentation requirements policy. So WIOA source documentation identifies acceptable documentation for validating data elements and determining eligibility. So the policy revisions here have eliminated the personal identifiable information section and introduced required source documentations for eligibility and expanded definitions, detailed attachments for youth, adult, and dislocated workers with allowable documents. Allowable documents were made to align with the latest EDD directives for data validation and source documentation. And Francis will walk us through the revisions.
Yeah, basically what Nancy shared is the main change. Played up definitions to align with the policy updates to make sure what source documents are acceptable and how to provide them. Again, we updated the reference documents and definitions, and then the layout was updated a little bit just so the policy flows a little bit better.
Are there any comments or questions about this item? Hearing and seeing none, let's go ahead and move on to the last item, 7L.
And this is a priority of service policy, not specific to veterans, but priority of service allows for priority to be given for individualized career services and training services funded for WIOA adult funds to recipients of public assistance, low-income individuals, individuals who are basic skills deficient, or veterans and eligible spouses. So again, it was already included, but we called out the veteran piece. Francis, you want to walk us through? Red line begins on page 81 and the clean version on 101.
So we updated the reference documents. So anytime it's changes to the T goals or to the workforce service guidelines, we update those information. So that's all been updated. We did strengthen the language a little bit on the veteran priority of service. Even though we do create a veteran priority policy, we also strengthened the language here to make sure that we clearly define that they're aware of their entitlements, how they get their services, and how they're made available
how to make them aware of available services to them. And then we slightly revised to align with the updates to the Workforce Service Directorate and the teams, the five groups that receive priority in service.
There's comments or questions.
Yeah, impact your ability to serve the overall population. It sounds like veterans are getting a lot of attention, and these other groups are getting attention. Does that mean anybody who doesn't fill or meet those requirements are waiting 2 weeks to get a response?
No, we're still able to service our populations. It's just making sure that those populations that require priority service do receive it. But there's really no impact to other populations. We're not, we don't have wait times to
change. Yes. So it's these other folks, you know, get all the attention, everybody else.
I mean, so client A and client B walk in at the same time, and client A is a veteran, they will be served first. But client B is not going to wait in days, they'll be served in the same list.
So it's always like, it's not first come, first serve, but sort of is, right? Like, so something, two people come in at the same exact time, get priority service. But if they don't come in at the same time, the person A wouldn't be denied service because of their setup.
Yeah, we take walk-ins.
And then, yeah, my comment to that is from the side of the house. That's the best part about working in a collaborative environment at an AJCC, because they have specific funding related to training. And on the ADD side, we don't do training. So if their needs are not necessarily, after they've done an assessment, it's not really training that they need, but some, you know, employment preparation that they need to take advantage of, and then they hand them over to us because we're there to do that piece of it, and we serve everybody. So nobody gets to wait. You know, everybody gets.
Just out of curiosity, do you anticipate that service outcomes will increase somewhat as a result of calling out the priority service?
Hopefully. So not just these two policy revisions, but then also our veteran employment program. We've really been trying to serve that population, and the number of veterans we're serving. I don't have to make up by the exact numbers. This wasn't prepared for this question, but it's increased pretty dramatically. If you look at how many veterans we were serving, say, 4 years ago, as to how many we're serving today, I would be willing to guess it probably quadrupled. Now I'd like to have all more. It started with the Veteran Employment Grant, the Veteran Employment Assistance Grant, which now has been turned to VET, which is no longer grant funded. It's now WIO dollars funded. But we've invested a lot of staffing resources and funding to specifically serving veterans. So, yeah, there's been veterans. A lot of it has to do with our previous manager there, did a fantastic job of networking in the veteran communities. Making contacts at not only the Los Alamitos Joint Force Training Base, but also in Camp Pendleton and other veteran communities, well, other communities that support veterans, and have really increased that pipeline.
Thank you. Yeah, any other comments or questions regarding this class? All right. Hearing and seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to collectively approve items 7A through 7F. Carlos, so fast. Thank you. Somebody record first. First is Carlos. Second one is Rob. Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstain? All right. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Congratulations. Just want to comment too that really appreciate a continuous improvement, and having the summaries on the screen really helps. And thank you to the staff for the hard work. It takes a lot to create modifications or improvements, and thank you to the board for helping us carry this out. Before we move forward to item 8, I do want to recognize that Rose Contreras is here with us from the office of Supervisor Sarmiento in the 2nd District. Thank you and welcome. Thank you for being here. Okay. Let's go ahead and move on to item 8, American Job Center of California certification process.
Yeah, so the recommendation from staff is to approve the American Job Center of California baseline criteria, matrix, and certification, which is due for program years 2024 through 2027, and allow staff to make non-substantive changes as necessary.
So This is every 3 years we're required to do this. It's just it used to be called the Hallmark Market of Excellence. It's the continuous improvement plan of census. So we have a panel go out to our locations, all our service locations, and perform like an evaluation. What's it feel like to like a customer centric view? And to really call out the make their observations. Once the observations are received, we compile this report, which is what we bring in chief today to approve to send to our regional organizer for EDD, and then that goes up to the state level. What happens next from here? So that's due November 1st to them. And then from here, we then work on the improvement plan. So like, these are our findings, these are the observations, areas of opportunity. We then go to our one-stop operator and work with them to come up with solutions if there are any needed. And then we submit that back up to the state by December the decision.
And so we did have two members of the board. Thank you to B and Rob to do the two centers for us to add the board's contribution.
I'm just curious to know, and hopefully not putting anybody on the spot, but are there any common themes in terms of continuous improvement that you'd like to highlight or?
Yeah. Overall, the one main comment is just more knowledge about the various services. A lot of partners are very well versed in the services they offer, but when we've got maybe a dozen service providers in total who are serving these populations, then knowing what services are available to properly leverage those resources, right? Holistic wraparound services is a little bit of opportunity in that, but overall, very positive results.
And on the show, since I did, I just kind of, interviewed, the staff, that were performing the different functions in the center, including the operator and the, and just to, I was kind of going over questions, but it was great to hear, how they tie in a lot of the work that they're doing to making sure that the site and the site partners and off-site partners are connected to the work that's being done and the updates that are, constantly in process. And from my observation of actually being in the center, I really appreciate the staff that, do that work. Because they do such a good job of making it an inviting, collaborative environment. And they really go after, learning more about another program so that they don't have to track down somebody from that agency to answer a common question for the customer. So I thought that they just do a great job.
Yeah, I was very impressed with the pride that everybody had in their work, with the roles that they fulfilled. They're very knowledgeable about articulating when I ask certain questions, like you brought my interview up as well. And one of my recommendations was I felt they need to really highlight a lot of their successes. There's so many great stories to tell, successes that I felt they needed to really highlight. Yeah. Clients, customers coming in that they can relate to some successful situations.
Just a quick question. I know last year to this year, we talked about having infographics because it's a great way to tell a story in a very synced. I'm curious to know regarding the different partners in the center, is there a graphic document, a one pager that perhaps shows a hub, a wheel, and then all the different spokes and the different services. So visual in that regard.
Kind of. So we have our MOU. We're currently working on it. So we're going out to all our partners for review and signature. But we have a table in there, which, so it's not necessarily an infographic. It's more a table of partner populations they serve, any special services that they provide. So that way, one organization say, hey, I have an individual who has XYZ, checks these boxes, and then they'll be able to look on this table which organizations serve that population, and then hopefully can co-enroll, leverage resources, and just better holistic sort of participant.
And I will make you an infographic. And we'll post it, yeah.
And it's really for the staff, but
it is
the participant as well. So
yeah.
And we did, in collaboration with EDD, do the first annual in-person. We're going to have all the staff come
together in November to do a lunch and learn, kind of where they can network with each other face to face. So we're excited about that.
Any other comments, questions?
Yeah, I mean, on this topic and highlighting the services that we provided, and when I walked into One Stop for the first time, I had heard about them for years, and I never walked into one, so if you get a tour, it is amazing what's provided. And then thinking, my students don't even know, and these are low literacy, low income students that would benefit from these services. Infographic would be good, but social media, the more video, like little snippets that they don't have to be, would be pretty cool. I know we on the website it has Facebook and also we have a clip cycle out there in the.
So our social media team is really active on Instagram, on LinkedIn, Facebook. They have a YouTube channel, so we'll make sure to relay that information. Like and follow. Okay.
There's no TikToks.
Yeah.
That's your newsletter too. I feel like the communication is. So, any other comments or questions?
I'll just make one in relation to all the comments just made. I was really impressed with North Orange County and like what they did here. And I think as you were talking about doing interviews, I'm like, even if there was just a little something, I don't know, there's privacy rights too. So it would have to be each individual being okay with that. But something like this that could be on the website.
That's wonderful. And that was one of my suggestions was it probably in the entry area. Clients are waiting. They can read the story, they can find out more, relate to that individual, and then it passed them. Then they can ask questions and say, oh, I just read about this person that went through the situation. How did they do? Can I get some more information? And it just prompts them.
I think that's a really good point. At the end of the day, we're here about impact. So if you were to share a shareable version of that document, invite everybody to share it on your own socials and your own networks as well.
This feedback is so valuable. Even Doug had mentioned like a personal story that there was a flyer in a lobby that caught his attention. Yeah. So even now in the VSO lobby, we've put our workforce kind of flyers and rotating. So thank you. Thank you, board, for all the feedback.
Yes.
Question. Talking about marketing and all that, I'm also on the big workforce development board up in the northern area, Jan Vogel's team.
Yeah,
they've done amazing work. It's like they have too many grants now. It's made crazy to supplement what they want to do. But one thing that they do that's really special that markets their organization pretty much to the broader community is they do an annual alumni awards event. And it's a fundraiser event for the organization to sponsor all the great work that they do, right? Fill in the gaps where grants aren't easy to use. And they basically bring in business partners, success stories, and they come up on stage and tell you, like, I was a single mom that was down on my luck and just rebuilding her life. And all of a sudden she's got a career now and a hope or started a business. And so it's amazing. And that's the partner. So great way to get some extra money.
Yeah. There's a little more flexibility because Jan's a nonprofit. And so we're being a municipality rep.
Jan and Doe, I want to bring a team. Whoever wants to come to the Addison table, I'm assuming we're sponsoring. I would mooch off for public affairs. Yeah. they can't fill the table. I can't. Sincerely.
I'll look into it. I'll see.
So it's a live annual report. And I know Nancy and I have talked about, I would love to see a workforce summit that's regional that talks about that, the needs, the gaps, the successes, the challenges. And I know we talked in the background about, you dream a lot.
And what's great about it is it becomes like a sounding board for others to say, oh, this is what they do. And they become your champions, right? And all the cities come, all the partners come, families come to these people.
So we have board members who want to brag on your work.
Guidelines. For marketing have our two ads on at Brea Mall.
That's
right. Brea Mall.
I was just at the Brea Mall.
Did you see it? Take a selfie with it. So it's got a QR code and it's like
excellent work.
Within 1 mile between both centers to drive traffic.
Not to add a wrench to the plan to market, but something we've been doing at United Way is thinking through how we tell stories and the ethical side of it. A lot of our participants succeed, but they come to us in a really difficult situation. So to put their story on our website know, 10 years later, they might not want that information public. So something to think about as we show people's stories is how long are we going to keep their story up, make sure that they understand and are consenting to the story, or just using big names, using
That's a great point. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that.
Great. Lots of great conversations.
Right.
Anything else before we go to lunch? All right, here you see. Now let's go ahead and move on to a little bit of planning, which is the 2025 meeting calendar. I know that,
did you vote on that?
Lots more discussion. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
And then we'll bring that to you.
Pardon me, we're not for it.
Kathy made a motion.
I made a motion to approve.
And I second it.
All right. Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, motion really carries.
Okay.
For real.
My head is next year.
And I'll bring you, I'll docu-sign it to you because it needs the chair signature on the AJCC. Okay.
Let's talk about the calendar. I know that there was a survey, and if you want to give a little bit more.
Yeah, so we every year at the last meeting of the year, we're required to vote on the meeting calendar for the next year. So Annalisa really likes, the chair likes to get everyone's input. So we set out a survey, and the majority voted for quarterly meetings and then two standing meetings. So a total of 6 meetings as a commitment. So this is a draft calendar open for discussion. And the recommendation is to review and approve a meeting calendar for the lit.
Great time frame, right? So we modified that last year to this year. Comments, thoughts, feedback. Thank you for responding to the survey.
So last year we had a special meeting in May. And the only question I would have is April the right time, or is it better to be May? I don't know the answer.
Yeah. Yes.
I think there was a reason why we converted it to a special meeting.
We were still
important that the committees meet, right? And that's really critical because that's really where the meat and the work is theoretically going to be done. And then it bubbles up to the board meetings. So to your point, are there any deadlines or reports, Nancy, that you need to present to the board by end of fiscal year in June that would enable us or would want us to do it in April to give you time in May? I'm open to suggestions. Depends on your work.
I'm
not saying we should.
Well,
I'm just
then
raising
it every other month, and we would kind of be covered. And if there was any urgent items to come up, it would be a standing committee that would roll up into exec, who we could ratify if needed.
Does that give you enough time, Nancy, so that if we need to present something before the end of fiscal year?
It does, because with procurement. Oh, go ahead, Francis.
Well, I'd say we can't go to the Board of Supervisors with any agenda or staff reports, so any action items for the Board of Supervisors in the month of June this following year. So the extra lead time of April to May would be beneficial, I believe, because we like your approval, your blessing before going to the supervisors. So that gives us a little bit more time.
That's kind of what I was thinking, just to give us a bit of a heads up. Any other comments or thoughts? Does this look like a reasonable calendar to put on your calendars? And I know, again, another continuous improvement that we did this year is forum calls at least twice right before. So that we are as efficient as possible before we get together. Any other comments or thoughts?
The only thing that I would, I don't know, it's a caveat. If you need an ad hoc meeting of some sort, I don't like what we did this past year to go.
It's in the bylaws. The address in the bylaws.
Just note that that's still, you know, there, the back.
If that could be the month.
In this case,
if it's helpful, I'll still send out the calendar advice to hold your
paper. Yeah, please, please do.
Okay. All right, this requires a vote as well. All right, I'll go ahead and entertain a motion. Is there a second?
Second
by Carlson. I'm really so impressed. That recorded Karen and Carlos. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries unanimously.
Right. Okay.
Is this last? Not So we've got our election of officers, and I will turn it over to staff.
Okay, for the OCWDB bylaws, election of officers shall be held annually during the last board meeting of each calendar year by majority vote, a quorum being present. Nominations will be taken from the floor, and members are allowed to self-nominate at the meeting. Recommendations would be to accept your nominations and conduct. So there's three positions. There's chair, first vice chair, and second vice chair, up to one at a time.
Okay, so we will start with the position of chairperson. Please provide nominations.
So I would like to nominate our existing chair for her second term. And just to add, you know, I think it's always a learning curve, you know, the first year of being, you know, chair. And I think this past year has been very productive for the board. Some of the recommendations that our chair has made, you know, to Nancy and staff, you know, were, you know, well thought recommendations and I think well received by the same, you know, token. I really appreciated the work that was done as a result of the leadership on the board. So if you don't mind accepting, you know, I certainly would, you know, nominate you for a second term.
I'd be honored. But let me just say that it's a team effort and it's really the staff that makes it all happen. So,
I'll second the motion?
I did.
Okay. And third
one. Do we have any others? So, voting all in favor of Annalisa Loops for. Chairperson, say aye. Unanimous vote electing Annalisa Loops as chair for the 2025 OC Workforce Development Board.
Good evening to everybody on board for your support and collaboration. That really means a lot. This is great work.
Now moving forward, nominations for first vice chairperson. Please provide nominations.
I'll nominate Rob again for the first vice chairperson. And I just want to say that, you know, having served on it for the first year, it really was instrumental in having that level of confidence, comfort, friendship, collaboration, to have someone so seasoned, not just on the board. What is it now, 17 years going on here?
Something like that. Something like that. 5 years, it's like 3 years.
But meaningful years, and so and certainly in his career as well. So it means a lot because it sets up a message of collaboration and partnership between the board and those are my
and I'll second that for sure. I mean, just Rob's knowledge and just desire to collaborate wisely for effectiveness is just very wow, invaluable. So thank you, Rob. Keep it up.
Okay, does somebody want to entertain a motion and support of nominating, we said Rob Claudio?
See.
Voting all in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous vote electing Rob Claudio as the first vice chair for the 2025 OC Workforce Development Board.
I'll continue. No. I know. I think I've, you know, we've done really some really good work. I really also have liked the dynamic of our new board members because that certainly has, like, you know, helped not only in our, you know, as we plan and, you know, put together policies and procedures, but we want it to be a meaningful experience for everybody. And I've learned so much from a lot of you. From industries that you're specialized in. You know, I know Kathy and I seem to run into each other now at every other event.
We're hanging out at conferences.
Yeah, we're talking about, you know, shows on Netflix. But it's great because there's so much in common that we didn't really know that we had so much in depth And so I really appreciate, you know, when I have the opportunity to speak with or have a sit down with some of you board members, because it really provides more insight for me as, you know, we continue to make plans to make our board as strong as we can. So thank you.
About the team and also creating a bench, right?
Yeah.
Not going to do this forever, never, but if you're interested in things in the future, please reach out. Do we have another role that we need to?
Yes, finally, the nominations for second vice chairperson. Please provide nominations.
I'll nominate Todd Swart from the CD.
Again?
Yes.
Sure, I love. Didn't we just talk about making space for new people?
Yes,
okay.
We did.
Because I'm not, okay.
Well, you did.
All
right. You got it. I'll
talk to you. Too much. Everybody's holding their breath.
All right.
You guys are doing a great job.
Really. All in favor of Todd Sworn for second vice chairperson, please say aye.
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 Elections should be this easy.
Right. Oh my goodness.
That's
but as a note as well, thank you all for your support and your friendship and collaboration. It's really fun to also get to know people as people and as individuals. So that's what makes team stronger and to new board members. Thank you for being here. I do want to note that there will be committee roles as well that we're going to administer. So do you want to speak about that a little bit?
Yes.
And it's not at this meeting, but the preparation finished.
Right. So we currently have four standing committees. We have the youth committee, the one-stop committee, the business services, and the exec. So the exec is all of the elected plus the heads of each chair for committees. So those are up for
I highly encourage anybody who might have any interest in meeting any of those committees to reach out to Nancy or myself or to Robert.
For the record, just unanimous vote, electing Todd Swart as the second vice chair for the 2025 OC Workforce Development Board.
Yes. Okay, thank you for that. I think it's now up to the chair to give the report. I have a few announcements, and again, lots of gratitude and thanks for the year. We're going into 2025, believe it or not, and we've really learned quite a bit and always want to get better and better and better. Always open to feedback, comments, questions, and really partnership. But that is something that we'll continue to do. A couple of announcements. So we have an ethics training that we all must meet by December 31. All at the end of it, we'll reach out to you privately, but we realize, you know, schedules are busy. But just as a note, and I have to read this, that if we don't receive the certificate by the end of December, it will result in an automatic removal, which is not going to happen with this team, from your position by January 25. Just keep an eye out, and it's about, 2-hour training. So we'll work on that. If you need support or help with any of it, let us know. Yes.
See, we checked it last year. Does it still routine?
Yeah. So if I reached out to you, yes, because there's like these.
They're less than a year.
Yeah. Even if it's less than a year, there's sometimes, yeah, depending on. So if I haven't reached out to you, then you're okay.
Because you'll be an expert to be able to do training. Yeah.
And it does have to show 2 hours, or the commission will come back and say it's incomplete. I mean, if it's short, 12 minutes. And so, not that that's happened, very specific example, but yeah.
Wow, 40 minutes.
So there's supplement. We could walk you through it if that's.
For those of you who have completed it, thank you.
Yeah.
Regional Career Expo event overview. You heard, I think, at the last meeting that there was an upcoming expo on October 9, which took place at the Honda Center. I want to share that again. Thank you to the team and the board for your support. There were 160 employers at that event, 941 registered job and career seekers, 198 professional headshots taken, interviews offered on the spot, as well as job offers. Still waiting for detailed post-event follow-up. I wasn't able to make it. It makes me sad that I missed the meeting. Did anybody else get a chance to see it? I did download the app. That was cool. And shared it with UCI and Chapman people. I think they might have sent some people your way or our way. But good job on that. I hope we do more of those things.
And it's from first regional since 2007.
For a while.
2000s. Right. And so we did the Anaheim Four Sports, seeing Anaheim Four Sport and ourselves collaborative.
SCE was a participant, and thank you to the supervisor for extending the invitation. It was a wonderful event. We were there. They had a lot of job seekers there, a lot of enthusiasm. And I know after the pandemic, it had gone a little dormant. So the job seekers that were in the room were really grateful for the opportunity to have so many diverse employers there. So I hope that this body does vote to do more of them, because we received a lot of wonderful comment from the community members that we saw there. Thank you.
Okay, so thank you again. Upcoming events. So November 6th, we begin our regional planning public town halls. So that's November 6th, November 13th, November 14th, November 20th. And this effort is to get feedback from the community relative to our regional planning unit, right? So the three wards. So if you're interested in that or want to get more details, please reach out. November 7th, there's a flyer in the packet, Small Business Growth Summit for the SBDC. Thank you for putting it up there. This is so cool. So please consider going and certainly sharing it with people in your networks. November 13th, Rapid Response Monthly Webinar for recently laid off workers. Can you talk just for a moment about what this is? I don't know if I've seen this before. November 13th, Nancy.
Well, that's an ongoing webinar we have monthly for anyone who is recently dislocated or laid off. And so we'll talk about the benefits and the process and offer our job services. And so that's an ongoing flyer. I think we have flyers on the table.
Help them transition.
Yes.
And then also on the same day, Honor a Veteran Events, Resource and Hiring Event at the Brea Center. So a partnership between PD and the OC Workforce Solutions. That's November 13. This is our last meeting of the year. So thank you all. We will meet again in January. Let me just go ahead and talk about the upcoming conferences. They're on the board as well. The NOB conference. Awesome. Really awesome. Really phenomenal conference. That is in March, end of March, March 29 to April 1 in Washington, D.C. The National Association of Workforce Development Professionals at Virginia Beach, May 5th through the 7th. The California Workforce Association, WorkCon Costa Mesa. We'll have to probably take a look at how that affects our calendar, our board meeting calendar, because I know it did this year, but that's April 28th to May 1. It's in Costa Mesa, Orange County. Represent.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, Meeting of the Minds. That's also a CWA event. That's in Monterey, September 2 to 4. So again, reach out if you have any interest or if you have any questions relative to those conferences. That wraps up my chair report. I'll turn it over to item 12, director's report, Nancy.
Thank you, Chair. For program updates, the board had asked for updates on CERFs and kind of where that's going now. So we have our regional organizer to speak to the program.
So,
the
program.
Sorry.
Jobs First now has been rebranded across the state to the Jobs First program. And basically, currently, we are transitioning the catalyst to implementation phase. So we've gotten through the planning phase, part one, part two, regional plans submitted to the state. And so now we are currently kind of preparing for one. Get onboarding those sector investment coordinators. So they are going to be, even though they're called sectors, they're not going to be sector specific. So at one point we thought they were going to be by sector, but they are now more consultants that have specialties in particular areas, whether that be grant writing or particular fields, because they started to realize that the skills that they weren't looking for were not necessarily found in one area. So they decided to go with kind of a pool of consultants that could be able to advise not only those that are submitting projects, but all the work that's being done throughout. So currently working on funding guidelines to release in the next couple of months for the $9 million in redevelopment activities. Project ideas must be exploratory and last mile or last mile, and also putting together an investment playbook. So really trying to identify, doing a survey to identify maybe what potential projects are in the area, and putting together an investment playbook that needs to be submitted to the state. If you look at the OCBC kind of gave out a link for the San Bernardino. If you look up San Bernardino investment playbook, you can see kind of an example of what the state is looking for. They've already got theirs up on the website ready to go. And then starting in January 2025, the initiative will enter into implementation phase, targeting projects progressing from concepts to implementation ready status. And there will be about $45 million annually for over a three-year period that's going to be allocated competitively across the 13 regions, first regions, basically throughout California. These projects will need to receive approval from the regional collaboratives, the Orange State RTC committee members, before they can actually be submitted to the state for that competitive funding. And those are kind of the major things really for the Jobs First project. Do you have any questions on that? Okay. Can I bring up one other thing? Just you guys saw four public town halls. Public town halls, there will be additional, additional four stakeholder meetings that are going to be focused on particular topics that will help us in writing our regional planners, some of them may require partners to be involved.
There's Zoom options.
They're going to be online.
Yes. Thanks, Amanda.
For item B, we have the performance. You have your infographic on page 113. One thing I want to point out is, so this is for quarter one of program year 24-25. And so within the first quarter, we have 6,000 visitors to both centers. Compared to the total last year was about 15,000. So we're doing very, very well in increasing our foot traffic. A few success stories for you for the adult program. We have an individual who, brought my reading glasses. And my staff printed it super big. Okay. An EMT, he serves here, EMT training course. He was one out of 16 students who passed. And is now a licensed EMT going through our adult program. For business services, there was a company with laying off a total of 282 employees, in addition to conducting multiple rapid response orientations in three different languages. The team also did customized hiring events for five employers and served 175 of those impacted employees. Let's see, for youth, we have a youth after 8 years of incarceration came to the Brea location for support to gain both employment and education. After mock interviews and going through soft skills training, he did begin a new role as a case manager, providing services in a similar program. So another one here is for a vocational class for youth out of school. He really wanted to be a truck driver, so we paid for the training for Class A truck driving. He persevered with job readiness employment workshops, completed the course, and secured a truck driving job by the end of the program, and is now self-sufficient and thriving in a higher paying position than he ever had imagined. And for the veterans, we have an individual here who was separated from the military in May and came for guidance and support, facing a number of challenges, including homelessness or unhoused. The case managers assisted him with barriers like housing instability and secured short-term training as a security guard. And eventually now the last report in September is he is housed and in a long-term career and also going back to school. So for your program goals.
Questions about the
I love this. But what it's missing for me is performance over time. So I don't know if it's all on this page or you do a different page.
So every meeting I'll bring you a quarter one, and at the end of the year, I'll give you the full year. So,
but like, I'd like to see
all of it together.
Well, I'd like to see Q1 this year, Q1 last year, Q1 the year before, just to get a sense of
like a
computer, like a flow and what's happening. And I'm not saying it has to all be on this page. And I'm not saying that every piece of this data needs a year-on-year-on-year comparison.
Yes.
But it's just taking a look at what's the data that you think is most interesting to show as a flow.
I got you. I will do that.
I would love to get a copy of this and maybe some of the narratives. That's the why.
Anything else? For upcoming events, we're very excited to announce that we'll be releasing the special projects RFP on or around December 13th. We've been working very hard with procurement to do something innovative where we're not releasing a youth RFP, an adult RFP, a veterans RFP. It's really one of the kind. It's an open call to any kind of workforce services or programs that will help individuals or programs gain, retain, sustain employment, or help employers gain, retain talent and grow their business. So really open-ended. We're inviting technology, consultancy, business services, youth and adult programs. We're going to see how that works. And so we think there's going to be, by pulling all these in at once, it'll also give us an opportunity to kind of see how we can leverage and braid those resources to make something comprehensive. So if you'd like to be on the panel, don't tell me now, come to me after, and I will add you to the panel.
Is that more of an RFQ, this RSP?
Procurement called it, yeah, kind of, yeah. But it's an open call for any proposal to get on the plane. Yeah, so we're very excited, December 13th, rolling out for projects that services that will begin in program year 25-26.
So the Air Force does this with their small business SBIRs that they just say, we have these needs, we have an open call.
Yes.
And I think that there's the biggest issue is going to be communicating to enough different organizations that you actually get some creative solutions.
So we are starting outreach today. tomorrow we're going to start outreach. Just if you have emails of people that you think should be on this distribution list, tell us, share it. Just going to make it really simple, not a flyer, just an email that you can just keep forwarding around to get as many interested parties.
When does this get released?
It's on or around December 13th.
And then do you have a focus of a forecast on due dates?
On or around February. I'm using procurement language.
Okay. Thank you. I want to say one more thing to her, because Nancy, I know how hard that is to work in this kind of an organization and come up with something innovative and creative And you've been working on it for months, so I want to really validate you and the team for persevering, I'm sure, through a lot of red tape to get to
this. This team's fantastic. They've pulled in resources, examples. So thankful for your team to do that. Yeah.
So, I mean, that really, I appreciate that. This is just a little over a year and a month since you came on board.
So we're having a lot of time to do this.
Thank you. Okay, we've come to item 13. We left room here for strategic planning. And our ordinary planning sessions would be perhaps 18 months, depending on what's going on.
Yes.
We thought we'd leave a little bit of room. And this is an interesting one because we already have a plan in place. I mean, this is sort of what we had done in several years prior to today. And now let's go ahead and take a look at, or do you want to summarize what the system's goals are?
So the chief would ask kind of like, what's existing? What were we supposed to do? What do you want to hear? What do you want to focus on? So just high level, just brought it down to the kind of these four areas. And one of the things that we had talked about, because of the short time frame and everyone's schedule, we can send out a follow-up survey to get your in-depth feedback. You can sleep on it. But some of the areas that we were looking at was impact. What is the impact of the workforce development system, as well as the board's input into it? How do we foster equitable access
Priority of service, of course, is important, but also getting the service out there to everybody in need. Innovation and responsive to market needs. We're always talking about AI, automation. So how do we make sure that we're relevant, we keep our services relevant, and keep the job market and the employers engaged? And the fourth one was strengthening regional partnerships. So really, I think a big mission of the chair and myself as well is making sure that we're working kind of in a village style with everybody, leveraging braiding resources. We can't do it alone. So strengthening our partnerships with community colleges, with NOCE, with CMTC. So really, that's kind of been, I think, critical to this past year in re-engaging those relationships. So this is kind of what we're bringing to you as like a high level. Of course, we time limited. It's not like a huge discussion base, but maybe it could spark some interest and a little bit of discussion. And then I'll follow up with a more in-depth survey where you guys can kind of sleep on it. And
sort of preparing for this conversation probably several weeks ago, my question was, so what? What's the answer to the question, so what? We're here and doing this. What's the answer to that? If the board were not here, if what we're doing were not here, what will that gap look like? And it's always about that impact, measuring it, and there's been a lot of quantifiable measurements, and then being able to tell that story, in part to get more funding, for sure, but really to ensure that there is something that the time that you all are taking from your businesses and from your work is meaningful. So,
and the why, I think you would have why.
Yeah.
Why are you
What's the why for you? Why are you participating on the board? Which we can put in the survey or even.
Any comments or thoughts about any one of those four items that we want to perhaps focus on or strengthen in the coming years
or add?
Right.
I just have a comment on the strengthening of the regional partnership. I think that's where we've done a lot of really good work because there's so many more opportunities, it seems like, where it's the, you know, part of it is as board members, the community colleges are really involved. They're inviting us to a lot of different things that I was never, you know, part of before. But it's kind of opened my eyes even more. I know I'm tied to the Orange County Regional Collaborative for the colleges. But some of their other interesting work that they do out there, to me, does build a deeper tie, you know, to what we're doing. And at the end of the day, we're all kind of saying the same thing. Are they getting students the better jobs, higher paying jobs? Are we getting our job seekers that are coming through our system, you know, employed and better jobs as well? And so we have some very common goals that kind of tie us together. And then some of the new, I guess, some new opportunities like in innovation. I know we've been working on, you know, how to make our communities AI ready through the community college and the SBDC, and some of those conversations have been really interesting. I've learned so much that I had no idea what a platform is, but I'm going to... You know, and just, you know, and some of the work that they're doing that does, you know, kind of impact our job seekers, you know, from a certain perspective. I sat in on one of the meetings a couple of weeks ago, and they were talking way above my skill level of, you know, AI and classes that they put together and all, you know, all this stuff. But then I'm thinking, okay, so our job seekers, how are we preparing them so when they're coming in and we're helping them build a resume, do they have to have a certain knowledge of AI that they have to list on their resume so that they're more competitive, you know? And how do we in our, you know, work that we do better prepare our staff, you know, to do that? So I really like that, you know, we're thinking all of these things all at once, but, you know, doing more to strengthen that and tie us together. So at the end of the day, I tell people, anybody that comes and utilizes our services, and all of you board members that are part of this organization, everybody becomes an ambassador for the system, you know, because you have your point of view and your story that you can share with others of how we're all connected together to try to do the same thing. So I appreciate that opportunities have come to do more of that building. And I really did like, I think you mentioned it, Annalisa, a summit of sorts, you know, where we can bring all of these entities together, and maybe that's where we talk about how can we do this better, maybe this is where we can talk about, you know, bringing some of these success stories to give testimonials about, here's a college student that came through our system and ended up, you know, with a credential or some other type of training. And, you know, and that's the opportunity maybe that we, maybe that is something that we could take a look at and doing like a regional summit of sorts.
I want to build on it and say, I would love this in email format because I feel like I was talking to my boss as I was walking out the door today to this meeting. And she's like, oh, what are you doing? I'm going to the workforce development board meeting. Nobody knows what that means.
Yeah.
I remember when I first started, Jesse Benrum was on the team at that time. And he was like, we really do need to define what we do, you know, almost like elevator pitch conversation. And this does it very well. And I just want to acknowledge the staff and the team and everyone who's been involved in creating such a kind of tight idea around what impact we're trying to make inside the region. It also, from a resume perspective, I think is really important for each one of us to talk to this in our in what we do as professionals, not only in our actual full-time jobs, but in the work we're trying to do for the region. So anyway, I just love it. I think it's really nice to have this finally. It's the first time I've seen it so easily accessible. Well, thank you.
Yes. I mean, putting it in visible like that, my mind is already turning as far as what I can do and what I can bring back to our leadership team and how we can be more visible. We can be more of a partner. I mean, we're just up the hill from the Laguna Yale Center.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking processing of even inviting some of our, and again, I have to process this with our team, but inviting if it's an opportunity to bring our executive leaders for like an open panel session with some of your clients to just have that dialogue about healthcare, where it's going, what are the opportunities, and have that. I know our leadership team would really love that to do that. So those are just, that just sparked, you know, an idea for me.
Yes.
Keep sparking.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I probably will not do a good job of trying to describe how complex this is.
Mm-hmm.
But if we think about our K-12 education system, that system actually came into being during 100 years ago at the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, when we were taking farmers and wanting to turn them into, and I'm going to use this word because we didn't know it 100 years ago, turning them into robots. Okay, we wanted to take our kids and take out creativity and have them come in and do robotic jobs in the factory. And we're sitting here right now at this transition point where we now have robots. Okay, we're starting to have like AI and intelligence. And, you know, back in the day, we all, because we're all old here, we all memorize all the phone numbers that we needed.
True.
And we don't need to have that anymore, right? Back in the day, most of us didn't have calculators when we were in high school, right? Like, I still have this really random skill set that I can do the square root of any number by hand, which is the most useless skill that you've ever had, right? And right, and now in the advent of AI, we need to bring back creativity because the value for our young people and the future of jobs is not, you know, clock in and leave your brain at the door. It's actually go in and learn how to problem solve and how to work with other people and how to fix the robots that are taking over in a good way, all those horrible jobs that nobody wants. And where are we as a workforce development board thinking about not just the jobs of today, but the jobs of the future?
I want to encapsulate that because I come from K-12 education. I want to take rote memorization and regurgitation and turn it into entrepreneurial mindset for the future of our region. So that was a shorter way of that.
I just want to share. Yes, I love that word, entrepreneurial. And I
love how Nancy and team have really expanded our board to include now Edwards and Providence. It's really people from the business council. And
by the way, I'm not Edwards.
United Way.
No. Edwards, right? Oh, there. You're Edwards.
It's phenomenal. This was part of the request of how do we build a FOMO or
you're missing
and yet I heard it twice today that the backbone of the economy are the small businesses, right? How do we engage even more of them to be part of not just the conversation, but part of the solution when, and I represent small businesses, busy working on the business. How do we do that? Because if we are employing, in the case of manufacturing, 70% of the workforce, where do they fit in these types of conversations? And I don't have the answer. I'm just asking.
Yeah, and it's complicated because those businesses are in dire need of automation.
Yeah.
The small manufacturing businesses, they don't have people who can do the automation. Then you go back to community colleges and they're really training people who can do the automation and they're not getting enough people going in. And my take on it, having started my career in at General Motors many years ago, is that all those people that did those robotic jobs told their kids, and now it's two generations, their grandkids don't go into manufacturing, right? And how do we actually go in front of the community college organization and start getting young people to understand that manufacturing is creative and it's fun and it's problem solving and it's all those things today that it didn't used to be, so that we can start impacting small and medium-sized manufacturers that actually need to transition and they don't even know where to start.
Just a couple of thoughts. One, I'd like to see how we would incorporate artificial intelligence and what we do as an organization, but then also for the workforce in the future. Because I keep hearing this cliche quote, you know, AI is not going to take your job. The person who knows how to use AI or at least be more productive, right? So that one area that's definitely like just exploding is what I call entrepreneurial aerospace, right? So spin-offs, all these little disposable satellites and programs and all that stuff. And one of the main things that I see behind these companies like Rocket Lab and others, it's all about 3D printing, right? And we've had that for a while, but are people being trained on that? I don't know. Maybe not enough, you know. So I think that's an area that's still growing and needs attention. And then I'm happy to help with the last bullet because I think we've been wanting to do that for a while and we just have to be determined to do it. It's not that we have the ability, but we just, but no, like pick a couple of focus groups, right?
Yeah.
Bring in this industry group, listen to them, and then actually deliver something because otherwise they're not going to. Like, oh, we told them 6 months ago we needed system engineering. They're like, well, that's too hard to fix. They run out. So,
and maybe one way to get to that point, because we meet now, we're going to meet four times, right? Four times a year, plus the committees. And I'm all about like actionable, measurable steps. It's talking about it is interesting. Getting things done in a way that kept done is more important, and I think it's more exciting for everybody. So maybe chunking down once you have received the survey and feel free. Hopefully there's a section for comments.
Yes.
Expand. But then we need to prioritize, maybe just one thing. So that by the end of 2025, we look back on this and go, well, that was the one thing we focused on. You can have other things too, but let's at least have one measurement.
Yeah.
What do you think about that concept of figuring out? Because there's a lot of questions here, a lot of things that you know are really workforce, but on a national level, maybe international level. And then we have things, what is it that we can control here at the region that is going to a year from now say, that's what we did.
Yep.
And it can be part of the infographic with, you know, year to year, year over year measurements. But what do you think about really focusing on something? And it will have to be made possible by structuring the meeting in that way, having more of this conversation. But at the end of it, prioritize going, let's take a vote. What is it that we want to do? What do you think about that? Is that too rapid? Is it too aggressive? Is it?
Oh, I think you should be aggressive.
Or use the lab 20 minutes from our meeting to make sure we're making progress.
Yeah,
at checkpoints.
Yeah.
What do you think, Nancy?
Is this something that's on the agenda? Are we asking for
anything for both women?
And we don't want to overwhelm, right? We want to figure out how to focus on one thing. Because everybody else here is focusing on a lot of other things. But what is it as a body that we're going to?
Like an open call out for ideas and priorities, and also an area where maybe we could rank it. Maybe it's a two-part survey, but I'll lead you there. And
then maybe at the January meeting,
we'll have a final kind of
we'll figure out what the priority might be. And then really the work is going to happen at a committee level. And in those meetings, in between those meetings.
And our goal for the committees this year was to level set at the first one and then dive deep. So we all met at least once. And so we did the level setting of kind of what the structure is, what that committee is focused on. So we can hit the ground running in January. With the one open seat that we are looking for hospitality representatives, I have some good leads on some hotel and hospitality representatives that we can. So we're getting there.
And all that has to be done within the Wayoa formula.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Expand.
So maybe we reserve this type of conversation at every, and we appreciate all of you. You can always reach out in between the meetings. I know sometimes people want to process it a little bit more, but you're always welcome to contribute and help us take those specific actions and get to where it's one thing. And then we want to talk about it at the conferences to show up Orange County. Okay. Yes.
Follow-up question. You said we only have one seat?
We're looking for at large. But to represent hospitality. So your goal or your call was to represent each of the priority industries. So we have manufacturing, healthcare, IT, and we're kind of looking for that hospitality seat. So
okay.
Send me any referrals. I'll do my song and dance and get them for you.
Well, the reason I asked that, I don't know if we had multiple seats open or just one, but one similar path that we're on and another board I serve on is that given this way to collectively decide how we want to contribute is to then create kind of a job description for what it means to be a board member. So as you go out in industry looking for the individual select volunteers, you have these sort of expectations they create.
As a lead in, then I'll do my closing song and dance.
Yes.
So we'll take a group photo if you want to. We'll probably do it for this backdrop. But in the meantime, before we close, give you 15 minutes back of your time, let's go and do round robin. Any other comments, questions, Nancy? Robert, Karen,
I just want to say there's a survey out right now for that first set of catalyst funding. And so if anybody hasn't gotten that survey and would like to fill out potential funding project ideas, I know that they would love that. And it's open until November 15th, I think. So please contact me or contact your Nancy, me if you don't have my email. I'd love to just give surveys out because we really do want a broad cross-section that everyone's eligible. Yes. This is why they're going to use the information they get from this to build the RFP. Or the RFP, which will come out in a few weeks, I think. So please listen.
Needs to have more business input.
Yes.
Education.
And anybody in there.
Oh, no, I'm fine.
Thank you, everybody.
I appreciate this learning and being part of this board. This is my first year, so I look forward to what's on. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much.
All right.
That's good.
All right, with that, we will adjourn the meeting at 11:44.
All right.
Okay. You want to take a shot?
Yeah,
just supposed to give you a shot. You're a shot.